This morning we are talking about listening prayer. Listening prayer. Posturing yourself to actually hear God speak. When's the last time that you actually felt God say something to you? Reveal something to you really, really powerfully? When's the last time you felt God kind of say something to you about where you're going, what He created you to do, and what's going to happen in you and through you? Have you ever had that before? It's quite a powerful experience. This morning, I'm really excited to preach out of Jeremiah 1. It's a very important passage to me. It's hard to say you have a favorite passage because I have many, but this is kind of one of them. It's been really impactful into my life. And just studying this initially young man who was called into ministry by hearing God's voice, by listening to God speak to him. And Jeremiah served in a dangerous time. This is a picture from a movie later on in Jeremiah's life when he was much older. But at the beginning, he was called to a very strategic, a very dangerous ministry at speaking truth into a time when people didn't want to hear it. And speaking truth would pretty much cost you your life. Jeremiah hears this voice and he feels completely inadequate. I can't do that. You have no idea who I am, and I don't have the skills to do that. I don't have the age to do that or anything like that. He feels completely inadequate. But in listening to God's voice, Jeremiah finds who he is, what he's called to do. He finds gifting and power to do it, and he finds fulfillment in it. He finds struggle in it. But all of it starts with hearing the voice of God saying, hey, this is who you are. This is where you're going, and I'm going to go with you. And so listening to God's voice is so significant. God does not call the gifted. God does not call the gifted. God gifts those willing to receive his call. And there, that means everybody has an opportunity. God doesn't just call the gifted, as if some of you've got it, some of you don't. But God gifts, God gives abilities to those willing to receive God's call, willing to take on God's reputation, God's kingdom, God's work. He says, great, let me come alongside and give you the power and the gifts to do it. How do we get there? We need to listen. We need to listen. But part of the problem with prayer, though, is we think, you know, God answers prayer by his doing. Well, that's kind of true, but I would suggest maybe more often God answers prayer not by his doing, but more often by his speaking. God wants to answer your prayer by speaking with you, communing with you, sharing with you. This is who you are. This is what I've created you to be and to do, and this is what it's going to look like as you walk with me and as you continue to hear my voice. Prayer is listening. You know, so early in our lives, we were taught that God answers prayer. We said it kind of in our prayer time here. Hey, God answers prayer. Absolutely. But when I was growing up, I think, well, that means God's going to do a bunch of stuff for me. And we pray like that, right? You know, God, do this and do that and give me that and make this way and heal me in that way. And those are good prayers, but so often we end there. It implies, you know, God giving and acting and doing all these things when really he invites us to hear him speak about who I am and what I've been created to do. The difference between speaking and listening and acting is really understanding this is a two-way relationship. When I just speak and act and share and in light of last week complain, that doesn't necessarily mean I've got a willing spirit. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm willing to be changed and directed. And so if I had just stopped last week, we might have thought, hey, well, that was a good series. You know, we've covered most of it. But that's not a two-way relationship. We can share with God. We can come to God as we are and share things. But God wants to say something to us in response. And so we need to listen. We need to be willing to be taught and directed. When I was putting this together, what immediately came to my mind was a little analogy with my dad. When I first learned to drive, I was a city guy, so I know I should have known how to do this a little sooner, but I got a flat tire. I had an idea of how to do it, but it was my dad's car, and I just learned to drive, and I was in the middle of the city going to my girlfriend's house, but so I was a little nervous, but I went to a phone booth. Those of you who have no idea what that is, you put a quarter, the thing that doesn't mean anything anymore, you put it in the phone, and you made a phone call with it, okay? So we didn't have cell phones then. So I went to a pay phone, and I called my dad, and I said, well, I got a flat tire, I have an idea, and it's funny what you remember as a kid, and he says, I'm going to let you do this, okay? And so he told me how to do it. Now, I was asking in a way for dad to drive the however far to come and do it for me when God says, well, I'll do it, but I'm going to tell you how to. I'll do it through you. I'm going to tell you how to do it and gain some experience. Real simple analogy, but it's, you know, one of those things I remember. Dad said, you're going to do it. I'm going to let you do this, okay? So I heard him out. I listened to him. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, when we come into challenges and we're kind of an idea of maybe where this is going, what we're doing, God's going to say, you know what? I'm going to let you do this, okay? But let me tell you how. Let me give you the abilities to do it. Let me give you the power, as it were, to do it. Let me give you the vision to do it so that you can continue on in the direction that you were going originally. I'm going to tell you how to do this, and then you're going to do my doing. I'm going to do through you. God does that to us all the time. But how do we get there if we don't listen? How do we get there if we don't open the lines of communication and take the phone, as it were, and call up and say, this is the problem I've got. Can you guide me? Can you direct me? God, what do you want me to do? So this morning, we're going to see in Jeremiah that God uses listening prayer to speak to life's fundamental questions. We think listening prayer is to tell me what to do and give me a, you know, day-by-day, plan for what's going to go on, but he says so much more than that. So much more than that. Now I want to qualify something here. Listening prayer. Sorry, they got mixed up here somehow. Listening prayer. You know, there is a stream of Christianity right now that claims listening prayer. You'll notice it's in quotations because nowhere in Scripture does it say listening prayer. But there is a whole kind of movement of prayer right now where we come to God and we completely empty ourselves. We empty our minds and we still ourselves and we just kind of be open to anything. And it's this theory that there's a new revelation that's coming. That God's I'm going to meditate on God's word in a way and just be open to anything that comes. And something new is going to come to me today that has never been revealed before. So in a way, I'm become a prophet. That's not what we're talking about. Listening prayer, in my opinion, is not emptying myself, but it's actually filling myself. There's a dangerous movement within the church that's bordering on Eastern religion of meditation and yogas and these kinds of things, and they're dangerous. We are not about emptying ourselves. We are all about filling ourselves with God's presence, with God's word, with God's spirit. So I'm not talking about blank meditation, new revelations, emptying my mind when I talk about listening prayer, but I do mean filling myself. So that's listening prayer. Now, life's fundamental questions. Why did I pick up on that? Well, this is an analogy. There's been a resurgence of certain movies this couple years. You think back to Star Wars. Every movie, I don't really read fictional books, but I imagine a lot of fictional books and characters. Everybody, the main character, usually goes through this process of kind of figuring out who they are. And once they figure it out, there's a bit of a rappel. You think of Luke Skywalker, he's going to be this great Jedi, and he pulled away from that a little bit. He understands who his father is and so on, and he's struggling with his identity before the end of the movie. Eventually, he comes back to it. There's another character, good old Rocky Balboa. From the very beginning, Rocky is one of the best fighters, and he wins this championship, and he has this pressure from his wife to retire and go back to the docks or go back to another job. And many times through the series of Rocky, he's struggling with, this is who I am. I'm a boxer. This is who I am. And so there's a struggle with this foundational question of who I am and what am I supposed to do? The Lord of the Rings trilogy, Aragorn, there's this part in the third movie where he gets confronted and he says, set aside the ranger and become the man you were born to be. Every character in all of these stories go through this questioning, the fundamental questions of life. Now, if some of you are kind of older and you have no idea what I just said, I thought I would put in Fiddler of the Roof. All right? So this one's a little beyond me still, but I've watched the movie. This man of five daughters who, from the Jewish faith, who start to marry outside the faith and experience the world. And the whole story is him questioning his roots, his cultural roots, his religious life, and calling his daughters back to who you are. This is what we're about. And so the musical is about this journey of a father working with his daughters as they marry and experience the world. People ask the questions, the foundational questions. Who am I? Where am I going? God, we're no different than that. I don't care how cool you think you are. We're asking the same questions. God, where am I going? Who am I? What did you create me to be, to do? This series is meant to provide you the tools to answer those questions. This series was meant for you to understand how we can go into God's presence, hear his voice, hear what he has to say about who we are as people, and to change us, to believe his sovereignty over all things, his purpose in life, that we have opportunity to be a part of his movement, that I can complain with the joys and the struggles of my life, and now I can come and listen to him with faith, confidence, and security. By the way, this is what we did as a church. If you were here with us 5 years ago, things were a lot different. We went through a process of asking the question, God, who are we? And what do you want us to do? Where are we going? By what power? What's the direction? We asked fundamental questions for us as a church. And it's a spiritual process. It's hearing the word of the Lord. And we see that happen with Jeremiah. These are the words of Jeremiah, but frequently it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. It's a spiritual process. And we did that as a church. God spoke. We listened. And we acted. And we're here because of it. Your life is no different. God wants to speak to you. He wants you to hear him. And he wants you to act on what you hear. Well, what happens with Jeremiah? We see that God speaks at a strategic time. Strategic time. I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. It says there, the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth, in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. And through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the fifth month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. How many of you skip over that part when you come to a book? Yeah, none of you are being honest. Okay, most of us are going to skip that part. Why? Because we have no idea what he's talking about. This is a strategic time. The world is changing around Jeremiah. This is a historical context. There's a particular time, place, and circumstance that God wants to speak. In verse 4, it says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, it came to him in the time just described. What's happening? Radical change internationally. The Assyrian army is like the biggest army at the time. Great power was in decline. And these Babylonians, these mean men, this massive army is starting to take over the world. Radical change. Old powers declining, new powers coming up and emerging. The word of the Lord speaks in the midst of that time. My story, we've shared many times in some ways with you. Our story, my story, has always been a strategic time. When God brought Myrna into my life, when God changed her heart, when God changed my heart 6 months ago, when we moved overseas, the timing couldn't have been perfect. More perfect. Going to school, coming to Brightview. If I was done school a year before, a year later, what would have happened? Think of your life. Think of your story. When did things happen? What were the circumstances? What was God doing? It was a specific time. God acts at a specific time. He speaks at a specific time. And so when we wait, our strength will grow as we wait on the Lord. God waits for the right time, but he does speak. And he speaks in Jeremiah's time at a very specific time. So what does he say? Well, the first thing he does is he speaks to your specific design. Very powerful words here in verse 3. So the word of the Lord came to me, that's Jeremiah saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God speaks to your specific design. The word here, before I formed you, I knew you, is this picture of a blueprint. We've had either the blessing or the curse of building a couple of houses. And, you know, I don't think I've ever built the house and then went and made the blueprints. How many of you have ever done that? That you build something and think, well, I better come up with a blueprint for this. And so you go back and you draw it. Well, that doesn't make sense. It's the same thing here. God doesn't make you and go, okay, well, what am I going to do with them? What purpose do they have? You know, you don't walk into a house that you build blindly and say, I'm going to decide that that's going to be a bedroom there because it kind of looks like one. And I guess I'll make that into a kitchen because the plumbing happens to come up over there. I mean, we don't do that. We have a design. We have a plan. We have a vision for what we do. We have a blueprint. And God says, I knew you. I had a blueprint for you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. I had a plan for your life. Before the beginning of time, God says, I knew you. Then he also says, I set you apart. Before all those pieces came together, before the DNA and all the chemicals came together to make this living being, I set you apart. I put you into this category of sacredness so that you would accomplish something beyond yourself. That's you. I set you apart even before you were born. I consecrated you. And it's just not to do a bunch of good things. Play music, vacuum the church, serve at school, help a neighbor. Those are good things. But a sacredness, a consecratedness, a setting apartness to you is a holy purpose. It's a purpose beyond you. It's a specific thing that God is doing. Thy kingdom come. He's got a place for you in that. He set you apart for that purpose. And then he says, I appointed you as a prophet. I've given you a job to do. I've given you a message. I've given you tools to do something, to make a difference. You know, you're not created to just to make an honest living and, you know, keep a clean house and have kids, raise a family, enjoy some retirement, and then die. That's our world. God says, I appointed you. I gave you a job to do, and you're meant to do it. And notice that all of this was before you were born. And because you're sitting here at age 15 or 24 or whatever, that plan hasn't changed. It's still before you. You still have opportunity to choose it. God speaks to your specific design. And so he says that to Jeremiah, this is who you are. In this strategic time, I've given something for you to do. Now, like us, Jeremiah does the same thing. He complains. He sees his blinding inadequacies. God, you have no idea who you're talking to. Jeremiah says, ah, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. The word child, we don't really know exactly what it means. Teenager, young adult, he's probably no older than 20. I want you to think about that. The U.S. is about to come and conquer Canada because Canada is a very immoral nation. And he calls you, who's 17, there's a few of you around that category, and he says, I've appointed you to speak to the nation of Canada to repent and to come back to the Lord. How many of you would accept that? Jeremiah says, I'm a kid. I have no authority to do that, and I've got nothing to say. What am I supposed to say? Notice the word here. God says, this is who you are, and he says, there's an emphasis on I don't know what to say. I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. Notice where his focus is. Where's your focus? He talks about his inadequacy. He talks about his lack of credibility. And he's terrified. He's terrified of the opposition. He's terrified of rejection. He's terrified of criticism. He's terrified of failure, hurt. Can you relate to those? He's terrified. And in the midst of that, God speaks. Jeremiah spoke, and now God's going to speak again. And so he's going to speak to correct that. Verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send to you, send you to, and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. So it's not our ability. God says, I designed you this way, and I'm not depending on your ability to do it. It's God's will, it's God's command, it's God's design, it's God's commitment. It's God's enabling. It's God's going along with you that makes all the difference. So he promises a message. I will send you and I will give you what you're to say. And he says, I'm going to rescue you because I'm going to go along with you. So he doesn't say, you know, you're going to have this message and then I'm going to be over here and you're going to just go, you know, have a great life. But there's a bit of a hint here that this is going to be tough. This is going to be tough. Be afraid because I'm with you and I will rescue you. And you don't need rescuing unless things are going south. Things are tough. But God says, I'm with you and I'm going to rescue you through everything that comes. Don't be afraid. Frequently through this book, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And if you've ever been one who has shared the gospel, has spoken into a difficult situation, or shared a testimony, or come spoke, or worship led, there's these times where God's Spirit shows up and he speaks, and it's almost like an out-of-body experience. You could sit down and watch yourself speak. The word of the Lord comes to those willing to receive his call. So God says, I will tell you what to say and do it. Don't be afraid because I'm with you. So he's worried about his inadequacies. God addresses those. And then finally, he makes this experience. Verse 9. It goes from just this dialogue to Jeremiah actually experiencing something. It's from a story now to feeling. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appointed you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah now doesn't just have God's words, this idea of touching his mouth, it's actually part of his DNA. It's a part of who he is. There's so many characters in Scripture where God's hand comes and touches them. Of course, Isaiah purifies him, but others like Ezekiel, he eats a scroll, and many others, just the word of God becomes a part of who they are. And that's the same thing that happens to you, is God makes what he is about a part of your DNA if you're ready and willing. What I find interesting about all of this is that we look for equipping and therefore become anointed or called. And here we see the exact opposite. God created, he designed, he set you apart, and that happens first. He anointed you already. And then he equips. Verse 9 and 10 is the equipping part. Everything up until now has been, I've already created you for this. Now I'm giving you the tools. We look for the tools first, and that's where we go wrong. God's already created you for an awesome purpose. You have to choose to receive his enabling, just like Jeremiah did. So equipping and anointing are linked, but anointing comes first. Finally, the story goes on, and he also speaks to our inadequacies, he speaks to our gifting, but then he kind of speaks to this need for assurance. And so I'm going to spend a lot of time on this, but there's two visions that he gets. And one's a vision of an almond tree. Not a lot of details on this one. Verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? This is verse 11. I see a branch of an almond tree, I replied. That's all we got. There's something hidden in Hebrew here that almond and the next verse, watch, sound the same. Verse 12, the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. That's all we can really put together in understanding what this vision means, but it seems that the rhyme and the words that Jeremiah would have heard kind of puts these two together, that the almond tree symbolizes that God's message to his people is going to come true. And so when God reveals something to you, he links fulfillment to what he's called you to do. And then he goes on to another illustration of this burning pot over a fire. tilts and falls from the north, and it's an image of the Babylonians coming and taking over the whole nation of Judah. And so he sees for himself what's actually going to happen. Finally, God speaks to your personal responsibility. It's God's initiative to speak. It's your responsibility to respond. A couple years ago, when I went to seminary, we had just uprooted our family from Edmonton. Brand new little baby. She was 2 months old. And so life was in a lot of turmoil. I was getting up for my first class. I was really nervous and excited all at the same time. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to read Jeremiah. So my first day of starting seminary and being equipped for the ministry I thought God was called me to do, I read this passage. And I got to verse 17. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you to say. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. I was starting to be prepared. I was getting myself ready. I was learning what I was supposed to say with whoever God entrusts me with. This passage has meant so much to me because of this concept of understanding who I was or who I am and what God has created me to do and giving me the words to do it and the work I had to go through, the responsibility to take upon myself the tools to do it well. Get yourself ready. The word get yourself ready happens in the New Testament as well. We don't translate it this, but it actually means gird up your loins. Does anybody know what that means? Now, we don't wear tunics. I might look better in one. I don't know. But in the Middle East, most people still wear tunics. Even warriors would wear a tunic. And so when you had to get yourself ready, when you were about to do something, roll up your sleeves, as it were, what you had to do is you would take up your tunic and you'd tie it so that you could move. It's like shorts. So a warrior who's about to go into battle would gird up his loins so that he could engage in battle. That's what he's telling to Jeremiah. Pull up your sleeves. Get yourself mobile. Get ready to move at a moment's notice. Stand up. Get on your feet and say to them whatever I tell you to say. Folks, we have a responsibility to roll up our sleeves, equip ourselves with the task that God has given us to do. And when we fear other people, God brings us to fear him. Do I get nervous speaking in front of people? Ah, there's an element of that, I suppose. But by God's grace, I am terrified of the day that I stand before him and he asks me the question, what did you do with the people that I gave you? By the way, if you're a pastor or not, you'll be asked the same question. What did you do with the anointing and the calling and the gifting and the opportunities that I gave you? Did you get yourself ready? Did you stand up? Did you say what I told you to say? Did you fear them or did you fear me? Powerful imagery. God's calling you to take upon yourself his calling. It says there that this attack is imminent against us. I'm going to be a fortified city. Why do I need to be a fortified city? Because the attack is coming, if it hasn't come already. People are going to belittle me, take my knees out. They're going to betray me. They're going to fight against me. They're going to try to overcome me, but it will not happen because ego a me, the I am, is with you, and therefore I am. That's where I started this series. Moses asking the question, who am I to go? And God says, I am. I am with you. Folks, it's the same for us. God's presence speaks into who we are, and that guides us for the rest of our lives. Girding up your loins, getting yourself ready, and saying whatever God gives you to say. You know, all of this, hearing God's voice, I want to say it's a matter of degrees. It's a matter of degrees. It's a degree to which you stop and listen. We're in a busy culture. It happens to a degree that you stop and listen. It happens to the degree which you accept what he says. How many of you actually would accept God saying, this is who you are? It's a degree to which you are led by God into his path. You accept his path totally. It's a degree to which your ministry is anchored in God's word. The word of the Lord said to Jeremiah over and over and over. Hearing God's voice is a matter of degree to which you're humble in your inadequacies. Jeremiah was humble in his inadequacies. God, I don't have the words. Can you give me the words? The degree to which you develop your gifts, you refine them, you get yourself ready, you refine your tools, you gird up your loins, as it were. The degree to which you walk with him, he says, I am with you. Will you let him be with you? God speaks, his voice is heard to the degree to which you boldly accept his commission for your life, his power and his authority in you and through you. All this determines the fruit of your life. Listening to God's voice. Well, as God speaks, you start to witness his doing be accomplished through you. So again, where we started, God, can you do this? And we hear the voice, you know what, I'm going to let you do it. It's going to be my doing through you. You get to see the God of the universe accomplish the eternal through you. Yes, even you. I was driving down the road the other day. This kind of came to my mind, and I was thinking about this, and I almost took a picture to show you. It's nothing particular. It was Highway 13. And for the first time in a long time, this maybe sounds bad, but I wasn't looking at the road. I was looking at the horizon. And I was trying to think about, you know, how do I focus on the God of the universe? How do I hear his voice? How do I believe that he's really above all my circumstances? And I started looking at the sky and thinking, think about this. I used to be a science teacher. I love studying science. And I just started to see the eternalness to creation. And that's the God I follow. That's the God of eternity. That's the God that is using me and wants to work through my life. That's the God that's accomplishing doing through me. And so maybe today, on a gorgeous day like today, you need to walk out into a field and look up. Maybe you need to look at a bug on the ground. I know a guy who just was enamored with a leaf. But anyways, picking up something, the God of the universe made this. Look at the design and the intentionality. This is the God that wants to accomplish something through me. Jeremiah saw events beyond himself. He wasn't worried about the Babylonians coming. He wasn't worried about the external threats around him. You know what he was worried about? He was worried about the internal spiritual reality of his people. You know, many of you are probably worried about the planting season. You're worried about a job. You're worried about, you know, your kids, and all those things are legitimate. Are you worried about your internal spiritual reality? This is what concerned Jeremiah. And this is what he got himself ready for. And so I hope you want to hear from God. You want to hear him say, this is how I knew you. This is how I designed you, set you apart, appointed you. Well, if you want this as part of your life, I'm going to give you some suggestions. You need to pray using time. You know, when I was looking up these pictures, that just made me relax looking at the picture. Can you carve out some time today? Can you pray using time? Maybe not words. Can you find space? Can you, find a focus? Can you find your tent of meeting? Can you schedule it in, as it were? If you want to hear God's voice, you need to hear time, or you need to have time. In that time, pray using the word. Remember, prayer is not emptying yourself. It's not just putting all thoughts away and becoming this blank slate that anything can come in, but actually you're filling your mind and filling your heart with the word. Meditate on the word, as Joshua says, day and night. Last night I was given a text by a guitar student who said, you know, can we work on this song? I want to learn it this week. And so I Googled it and listened to it. It was a great song. And the song right after that, it was a Casting Crown song, came to me and says, the title was Hear My Heart. Here's My Heart. And it was kind of a live production, so they went through the whole song, and then he spoke and prayed and surrendered. scripture. And then he said, we're gonna sing this last line one more time. And this is what the line said. And I focused on it for a while. It says, "Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true." We can sit on that bench and say, "God, speak to me." But this is the truth. If you're not praying the word and you're not reading the word, you are subjected to any truth. This is the truth. And so when we pray, we need to pray the word. Take a line and meditate on it. And God, say, "God, what does this mean? And help me understand." And it's amazing what he comes up with. So pray with time, pray with the word. And you'll start to hear, hey, this is who you are. Finally, when you start to hear that, don't fear who you are. Don't be the Luke Skywalkers or the Fiddler on the Roof dad, I can't even say his name, who you find what it is and you're pulled away from it. Jeremiah understandably tried to step away from his task and who he was. Human addictions are totally understandable. But if you're willing, they'll be confronted with a divine design. And God will allow you to accept who you are. Again, I've told you the story. I didn't want to be a pastor. I rejected it completely. And over time, hearing God's voice, having great mentors speaking into my life, I got the best job in the world. I get to lead you to Christ. I get to share in your stories and by God's grace share something with you. And I got the best job in the world. It is to me because God created me to do it. And you'll find the same. Don't fear who you are. When you find who you are, serve. Serve without apology. We were just talking as a worship band up here, just how sometimes we succumb to the nerves. And I was processing this morning as well. I've said before, I kind of don't really care what people think because I know who I am and what I'm created to do. That's not totally true. I care what you think. I want to be liked by you. I'm a person. But I think serving without apology means that what people think of you doesn't derail you from where you're supposed to go. So when you serve without apology, you serve with tenacity, with vision. There's an Adventures with Odyssey. Some of us young kids always with us young kids are listening to these. There's one on Jeremiah. And I listened to 5 minutes of it this week riding home as I get a thumbs up from my daughter. It's on Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's in prison. And one of his prison mates says, "Don't you get tired of this? It's not making any difference." And Jeremiah says, "I don't really know what's supposed to come out of this. But this is what I'm supposed to do." Great answer. Serving without apology. But you also serve expecting opposition. You better believe there's people going to be pushing back on you. You are a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall. People are going to fight against you. But I am with you. You only become derailed if you let it be. Service requires identity, calling, courage, strength. And when you've got all those things, opposition is futile. Finally, revisit your call frequently. Those of you on the search committee have read my resume, and in my resume, I've got my life statement, I got my life values, I got my purpose statement, I've got strategies to maintain my directive in life. I have to go back to that frequently. I'm a person, I'm a man, I get discouraged, I get distracted, and I have to take that out from time to time. Usually it's in September. And I say, "Okay, why am I here again? What am I doing? God, why did you create me to be? What's my heart really designed for?" And it gives me direction. You need to revisit this several times. God, why did you create me? Jeremiah came back to his calling, this passage, a few times in his book. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 20, chapter 26, he comes back and says, "God, what did you create me for to do here? Why did you call me?" So we need to listen. Provide time to hear God's voice. And when you do, you'll hear him speak into the life's key questions that guide you forward. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this great passage in Jeremiah. Thank you that it was in a context that was so strategic to his calling. But thank you for this little hymn in verse 4 that says, "Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I anointed you to be a prophet to the nations." In light of Christ, we see the exact same calling. we see that we are fearfully, wonderfully made. Since the beginning of time, you knew each one of us, every aspect of who we are, and you've created us for a purpose. And yes, because we have the presence of God and we have your word, in many ways, we are the prophets. We are the proclaimers of truth to the nations. Jesus said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." God, we are the church. Everyone here struggles, like I do, with our calling and with our readiness and with the certainty of it, with what people think of us, and am I going to be overcome? Am I going to fail? Am I going to be criticized? All of these things we struggle with. None of us are different. But God, you are willing to equip and refine those willing to receive that call. And amongst us, God, I just pray all of us would take seriously the perfect design that we are, designed to be used by you, to change our neighbors, to change our spouses and our kids for eternity by leading them to the person of Jesus. It's not my job, it's not just a few of us, it's all of us working together as you've equipped us and as you've called us. Pray for each one here as they maybe take some time today to take time aside praying your word. I pray they would hear truly this is what they've been created to be. Help us to surround each other, Father. Help us to invite other people into our story to encourage us and to guide us. Help us to be worshipers. Maybe something that we see at play every day, every moment as you speaking into our lives. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you've given us this gift of prayer. And I just pray that we would take some time to listen to you this day. I commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.